At this point, we get to invite our friends up from Birmingham, Alabama. So partners in evangelism, they can share a little bit more about the ministry itself, but they have been coming, I think, yearly for quite some time to share, usually around October time. So they'll be having a banquet later this week. But they're connected with Paul and Louise Longenecker and Steve, who you all are familiar with and love. And so I'm going to invite Doug up here, and he's going to introduce their team and their ministry here a little bit. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Gerald. And it is good to be here this morning. Greetings from Birmingham, Alabama, where on a weird switch, y'all are going to have warmer weather today than we are in Birmingham. Now, that's not going to be true for most of the rest of the week, but today it actually is. Your high temperature will be warmer than, so we're just, you know, enjoying this. Now, I don't know about the rest of the week, so, but no, it's really good to be here. Some of you may remember I was here a couple of years ago and had an opportunity to share with you on a Sunday morning. So I want to introduce our team that's here with us, our family that's here with us this morning a little bit, and then share a quick scripture and turn it over to Jason, who's going to be bringing the message and sharing this morning. So Jason Ash is with us. Jason is part of Life Converge Ministries at Grace and part of Grace and Truth Church, where I attend as well and help lead there. Our friend Trudy is here, Trudy Sterbonic. She's been at Grace and Truth for the last couple of years. Just an incredible heart for hospitality and welcoming folks and loving the people of God as they come through the door. And then the rest of these folks are my family. My wife, Becky, is here. And then, on a weird coincidence, my son, Luke, and his wife, Kayla, they've been married right at a year. They live in Clinton, Mississippi, about 4 hours west of us. And the church that they attend there, and they're working at that church now, is connected to some missions organizations and so on. And they are in Harrisburg the exact same time we happened to be here. And so we got to connect with them here in Pennsylvania instead of in Mississippi or in Birmingham. It's a really cool, really cool opportunity for us. So we're delighted to have them joining us last evening and then for the day today. We are connected to Partners in Evangelism. Partners in Evangelism is connected with us. Gerald said we could mention that a little bit, but really Mel could tell you more than any of the rest of us about that connection and so on. But Partners in Evangelism is a group that I think since 1986, if I have the year right, well before my time of being involved with it, but since 1986 has supported church planting efforts in Birmingham. And so Pastor Steve Longenecker at Grace and Truth was pastor there for nearly 30 years and has been very instrumental in that. He's been the bishop for the other churches in the Birmingham area. And so, as Gerald said, you all know him well. But this has been going on for, again, since 1986. And we have the privilege, I've only been here a couple of times, for the banquet. We have the privilege of coming up here. So there's 20 of us here for a few days, and then we will speak at the banquet on Tuesday night, and the time that banquet is the primary fundraising time for the ministries that are supported in Birmingham. So you're going to get to hear from Jason, who is part of one of those primary ministries in Birmingham. I just want to share two quick scriptures from the Psalms. From Psalm 105:1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done." And then I got to turn the page here. And then from Psalm 107, which I think Jason will be sharing from this morning, says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And then this, it's a question for all of us. "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out." It's a command there. It's not a Okay, well, that's great if he has. Wonderful, beautiful. If the Lord has redeemed you, has he? Then speak out. So, and then throughout this psalm, it talks about there's at least four different places that it shares something that's going on. And then it says, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. And it repeats that over and over. So I'm going to ask Jason to come and share. And as Jason's coming, I'm going to step up here because he's coming up here. And as he's coming, Jason's been a part of Life Converge Ministries for a few years. He also is employed at Brother Brian Mission, which has a very close connection, particularly to Grace and Truth Church and Life Converge Ministries. Life Converge was born out of, as an outreach, of Grace and Truth. So Grace and Truth is the church, the head church of that part. Life Converge was a ministry that was born out of that. And now Life Converge has started a Celebrate Recovery program on Wednesday nights that has been powerful and seen a lot of people dramatically affected there. So Jason will share more of his story. Two quick things I'm going to say about Jason. Jason, and I love that I can say this about some other people too, but one of the things I love about Jason is he's a new creation. I don't know the old guy. So when he talks about his past, I have no idea who he's talking about. But that's what God does, is we become that new creation. And I have no idea, really a truly new person. Jason is a man of peace. Sometimes when we have been through significant hardships and traumas in our life, we still have a lot of what appears to be emotional upheaval, even though God has met us and is continuing to work in us. And God's continuing to work in all of us. But Jason just has a real peace about him, and I love that about Jason. And then finally, some of you will remember these old commercials. Jason reminds me of, do you remember the old, a few of you, this ages us, like my son and daughter will all have no idea what I'm talking about. The old E.F. Hutton commercials. And E.F. Hutton would walk, these guys are talking about marketing kinds of things and about investing kinds of things, and then one of them will say, well, who's your investor? And he says, well, my investor's E.F. Hutton. And all of a sudden, there's conversations going on all around the room, and all of a sudden, everybody stops. And they're listening in. And the tagline is, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Well, Jason is not a man of many words, like me. But when Jason talks, people listen. He's a man of wisdom, and I think you will be encouraged by his story today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity just to be here at Marietta Chapel. Thank you for the safety and travel that you've given us, but just a delight to be among other believers in another place. But we are brothers and sisters in you, Jesus. We're thankful for that. And right now, I just pray your hand of blessing on Jason as he shares with us this morning. May his words be your words. May the words that come out of his mouth may sound like his voice, but they're coming from you. But may also our hearts and our minds be open to hearing the word that you have for us today, Father God. We're grateful for your work in us and through us and through Jason this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Doug.
You're on.
You are a much better speaker than I am. Doug, I'll give you that.
I didn't say better speaker.
You got more
words. More words.
More words. I would just like to thank you. I know Mel. I've been up here before. I've met him before, and he came down to Birmingham, so I'm a little more familiar with Mel. And now I know his son-in-law, Gerald, and I've talked to Phil for a minute, and it would be great to be able to talk with each of you, maybe after the service, just to get to know you. But this morning, I'm going to give you a snapshot of my life. And it goes along with Psalm 107. So if you've got your Bible and you want to turn there, you can. And if we were singing that song, I Want to Be More Like Jesus, more like mercy, more like grace, more like peace. If you guys don't know it, y'all have been that in my life, but as part of PIE, because y'all support the ministry that happens in Birmingham. And y'all might not have been there physically, but spiritually, y'all were there. And it's helped me tremendously in my life. See Jesus work through people. And that's who he uses, is people. And I found that out. I found that out. That Doug alluded to a little bit, that the Bible says here, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And as I tell my story this morning, I was certainly in the hand of the enemy for most of my life. And it was hard to get free. But I know God told me to say one thing, that I've been redeemed. I have been redeemed. By his own precious blood, he redeemed me and saved me. And I've got a home in heaven. So, I couldn't really decide whether to give you my testimony or read the psalm. So, we're going to read the psalm and then I'm going to give you my testimony. And y'all see, if y'all can see the comparison. Maybe God wrote my story a long time ago. "So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I'll stop right there. So my name is Jason Ash. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. I had two parents, mom and a dad. They were married. Pretty what I would refer to as a normal childhood. But as Miss Trudy's been teaching me, there's obviously a lot of wounds and things that happen to us when we're children that come out when we're adults. My parents divorced when I was 11 years old. I'd spent some time. They had me go to a Christian school, but I never entered a church with my parents, ever. I don't ever remember darkening the doors of a church, but they knew enough about God to make sure I was in a Christian school. Now, my dad's mom, my nanny, now, as I look back, I know she was a Christian. She would take me to a vacation Bible school, and I remember winning little awards for memorizing my books of the Bible and memorizing Bible verses. But I don't ever remember making any kind of profession of faith. I would have told you I knew who Jesus was. But they divorced when I was 11 years old, and once they divorced, my dad wasn't in the home anymore. So it was just me and my mom and my sister. I started going to public school. So I really didn't have any authority in my life at that point because my dad wasn't there. So I just kind of did what I wanted to do. And if you leave a young man to himself, 99% of the time, he's going to find the wrong things to do if you do not guide him. And I found the wrong things to do. I got caught stealing at 14. I drank some of my mom's alcohol and went and stole some stuff out of some cars in the parking lot of the apartments we lived in, and got in a credit card and went and tried to use it. Anyway, the police called my mom and she was real upset and just thought, how could you do this? And I was just one of those things. Keep going. But part of that wound that I think I had is my dad's mom, or my nanny that I went to church with, I didn't really spend any time with her anymore. And I loved her. She was great. She took me fishing. She was just the sweetest thing ever. But I think it was very instrumental in God placing her in my life early. So as a teenager, I started smoking pot by the time I was 15, 16. I was using stuff harder than that by the time I was 17. You name it, I'd probably done it. At 18 years old, I got caught with 3 pounds of pot. It's a trafficking charge. In Alabama, it's a Class A felony. But carries a 3-year sentence. I did not get the full, usually 3 years day for day is what you get. I did not get that. I see now as an act of grace. But I was ended up going to prison when I was 19. I turned 20 and 21. Thank God I wasn't doing life without parole. my mom had moved up to DeKalb County, which is north of Birmingham, about an hour and a half after this. And when I got out of prison, I moved up there with her because that was the only place I had to go. I thought, well, maybe I'll be all right. I'm not in the city anymore, not around drugs. But I was wrong. There's worse drugs. Crystal methamphetamine is definitely a worse drug. And I started using it when I was 21 years old and kept using it. Let's see, I was 21. That was probably the year 2001. I think I met my wife in 2004, and we got married. We both used. We had our daughter in 2006. Still using some. I started driving a truck for a living, trying to run for myself. That did not work. I always had to come back home. So, keeping on using, we had our daughter. It was about 2009, I think, when DHR got involved. And that was a very, very dark time in my life. And God started working. I'd split up with my wife and I'd moved down to Jasper, and my grandmother had a trailer park beside her house. And they weren't doing anything good in that trailer park. But I went over to some guy's house over there to do something one day, and they were reading their Bible. And I thought, what are these guys doing? This is weird. I said, where you guys been? Oh, we've been at Jimmy Hill Mission in Birmingham. Now, they were in the process of a relapse, but God can use you anytime he wants to. And I think it sparked the interest, and I'm like, okay. So fast forward, that was 2009. I even called Jimmy Hill, talked to him, but I wasn't ready to give up. 2012. My wife gets pregnant again, not by me, but we had gotten back together, and I tried to stop using again, and I couldn't do it. And her aunt and uncle had invited me to a little church in Fort Payne, Alabama, over and over and over again, and I finally said, I'm going to go to that church. And I went in there, and that's the first time I heard the name of Jesus. I remember the preacher preaching that he had seen Jesus Christ change men's lives. And I said, that's what I need. That is who I need. That is what I need. I just knew I needed my life changed. I didn't know what that entailed. But I told her to take me to Jimmy Hill Mission. And that is where I met the Lord. I asked God to save me. And he did. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. There he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. So, stayed at Jimmy Hill for a year. Was doing well. My wife had our oldest son. Again, he's not biologically mine. But we moved back in together. She came down to Birmingham. Was doing good. But we'll go on to the next part of the verses. This is me. He satisfieth a longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemn the counsel of the Most High. I did not continue in God's word, and I contemned his counsel. I didn't heed it. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. I found myself in addiction once again. Once again. Saved. I knew Jesus Christ. But found myself in addiction once again. So that was probably 2014. Started using again. Kept using. Me and my wife were together. We had our son, our oldest son, with us. My daughter at this point is in Maryland, from where we had lost custody of her, because her aunt was the only one that was sober in the family, and she lived in Maryland. And that's where my kids are now, still in Maryland. But my wife got pregnant again in 2016, and we're using very heavily, very heavily. My youngest son was born November the 3rd, 2016, and we're in total active addiction. So 2017 was the first time for me to go to Brother Brian. So I went to Brother Brian Mission. It's also a program very similar to Jimmy Hale. It was really hard. My wife, she did not choose to get help, and she had just moved in with somebody else. And I think that kind of hurt me a lot. That's been one of the harder things to get over. But we had at this point lost custody of all three of our kids. Our daughter, our oldest son, and of course they took the baby as soon as he was born because she was using when he was born. But they all live in Maryland, so they're not far from y'all. So that was my first time at Brother Brian. Made it through the program. I can't really say if I just wouldn't let God heal that hurt that was in my heart. I knew what I'd done, and I'm supposed to be a Christian, and I did all this. And it was hard. It was hard. So before I even left the mission, I started using again. So we'll carry on through the verses. This is where he brought me to Brother Brian. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I guess I never really got a clear picture of God's goodness my first time at Brother Brian. So out I went back into addiction. And I stayed there for, I was at Brother Ryan from February 2017 till November of 2018. And I went back out, active addiction, and I stayed there for until May of 2021 is when I came back to Brother Ryan this time. And I've learned a few things since I've been there. I've made the decision to say that I know that Jesus is enough. I have so much hurt and pain in my life from things that I caused. I did these things. And Jesus saves us. He saves us from hell. He saves us from the penalty of our sins. but he doesn't always save us from our consequences of what we've done. Not always. But he will, I promise you, carry you through that. He will carry you through that. And just giving him that hurt. And really, I've seen over my life that I had a real struggle with relationships. That's my biggest struggle is relationships. That's why the director of our mission says we, as men, don't become homeless because we run out of money. We run out of relationships. There's nobody else we can talk to. There's nobody else that'll put up with us. We've already burned every bridge, told every lie, conned everybody that we knew, and nobody will fool with us anymore. So we end up there. So now, God gives me relationships. And as I honor God in my life and honor those relationships, He honors me. He keeps me. And I appreciate the relationship we have with y'all up here. It amazes me to be from Birmingham, an addict, just a fool. And now I'm standing at a church in Pennsylvania behind a podium telling people about Jesus. But that's what God's grace is. It is so amazing. And he's took me to places that I never thought I'd go. For they that go down into the ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. This is our life at Brother Brian. Guys come in. They're in a storm. They don't know what to do. They reel to and fro. They stagger like drunken men. And at their wit's end, they don't know what to do. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's all that I see through this psalm, is that he's saying, get out and tell people how good I am, Jason. Amen. God is good. God is so amazingly good. I have a restored relationship with my children. I can call them whenever I want. Amen. I made amends. I told them I'm sorry. I asked them to forgive me for not being the dad they deserved. And I try to lead them to Jesus. Every time I talk to them, I'm like, I got something to tell y'all. Because my parents never did that. I never did really talk to my dad again. But in talking with my mom at Jimmy Hill, I told her I'd met Jesus Christ, and she was like, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. And I'm like, don't you think it would have been good that you told me about Jesus? I did get to, I went back and seen my grandmother after I'd gotten saved, because God told me to. He said, you need to go see your grandma, and you need to tell her that she got saved. And she had Alzheimer's at the time. And I remember she asked me about three times, are you married? You got any kids? She just kept asking me the same question over and over. And I said, Nanny, I just come over here to tell you I got saved. And she looked at me just clear as a bell and said, praise the Lord, son. Praise the Lord. So if you got grandkids and you may be wondering about them, God does stuff in his time. I know she would have liked to have seen me sooner. And anyway, I know she was praying for me, and it worked. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, They are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. I've got one of the largest families that I could ever have here with y'all in the whole world, the family of God. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. And then God's got an answer here for me in everything that I'm looking for. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I understand God's loving kindness now. He is so good. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is God's grace. And that is my testimony. And again, through people, God has used people in my life through all those years. He put people in my life. And I know that he put y'all in my life. And I'm so thankful for it. I just thank you and encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because it's worth it. It is worth it. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you today. Lord, so thankful for your grace, for your goodness. Oh, that I would continue to praise you for your goodness to the children of men. Lord, it's your goodness that led and leads men to repentance. Lord, it's your goodness that leads us to repentance, Lord. I thank you for being good and lead me toward repentance in my life, Lord, toward my family, toward you. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness and grace, Lord, and mercy. And Lord, just a promise that one day that I'll be in heaven with you. That is the greatest promise, Lord, that one day I will be there with you. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to give, to serve, Lord, to invite us up. Lord, I pray you continue to bless the families, Lord. Lord, just spiritually, emotionally, physically. And Lord, that they would know, Lord, that it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all, Lord. And I pray you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.